I don't know if I can do this without the talking stick, John. Let us pray. Dear Father, please guide my words and our thoughts. Please help and forgive us when our words, thoughts, or actions go in the wrong direction. Amen. I probably should have called this preaching to the choir, which that is preaching to the faithful who already have the word, right? The way I feel about being up here is that I'm preaching to the choir, to the congregation, and especially to myself, and maybe even our pastor. Much of what is preaching, is preached, is something we already know, but need to be reminded of. Also, preaching can produce a different way of thinking or rethinking about what we know or should know. Thinking differently reminds me of something that bothered me in my distant past. I used to meet people who would ask, "Are you saved?" That question used to bother me because I didn't quite know how to answer it. It seemed to me like there was something that bothered me about it. Finally, it dawned on me that it was the question that was wrong. Are you a Christian? If I said that, I could answer that question, but the other one, no. The question I was asked implied that one should be a Christian for the purpose of being saved. The motivation was wrong, so the question was wrong. Christ said those who want to be save their lives will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will gain it. Saving yourself is a selfish motivation. Oddly enough, once I figured that out, no one ever asked me that question again. My point here is that we need to keep rethinking our beliefs and learning more about how to be the best Christians we can. The world keeps changing, and so does our understanding and misunderstanding of it. We need to find new ways to be servants of God. God has given us examples that help, including the Ten Commandments and parables like the Good Samaritan. However, the specifics of how to be faithful to God are not always clear, and the world keeps changing. God does not change, but our understanding of God needs continual review. Even the Ten Commandments might require us to give some extra thought. What about the fourth? "But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work." Jesus modified that somewhat by saying it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath, as we just heard in the scripture here. I feel that when Moses presented the Ten Commandments, there was little time for rest from work. So the Sabbath commandment was for the good of the people. A time for rest, meditation, and prayer. Today, most of us have some kind of leisure scattered through the week. So we rest at times other than Sunday. Does that justify working on the Sabbath? Or is that rationalization? I don't know the answer. "Thou shalt not kill." Sounds like a straightforward commandment. Is it okay to kill under some circumstances? We probably would say it is. Certainly, gunning down a gunner who is killing children at school with an automatic weapon would be justifiable. That's taking a life to save lives. What about war? Is killing the enemy in war justifiable? Does it depend on which or what kind of war? If we hadn't fought against Germany and Japan in World War II, the world would most likely have been a more miserable place for many millions of people over these past 70 years or so. Participation in other wars may or may not be so justifiable. When I was young, over half a century ago, I was confronted with a dilemma. I considered being a conscientious objector. Now, for those who are too young to remember those days, I'll explain. At that time, all able-bodied young men were required to register for the draft, and then they were likely to get orders to join the military. A conscientious objector objected to military service on religious grounds. If an objector couldn't convince the draft board that his objection was serving, that to serving was sincerely religious, he could go to prison for refusing service. If he could convince the draft board that he was sincere, he would do some kind of alternate service, which was often less desirable than the military service. On one hand, I felt I shouldn't participate in killing. On the other hand, I felt that participating in some wars might be right. The problem was that one could not join the military and then choose which military actions to participate in. That would be a strange way to run a military. So I was convinced that I should not be a conscientious objector. One possibility was to wait to be drafted for 2 years. Instead, I took what was probably the easiest route and joined the Army Reserve, which required only 6 months of active duty and several years of active reserve. I respect and honor those who spent years in the military serving for our country. Such service requires considerable commitment and possibly facing unknown dangers. Thou shalt not steal. It's another commandment that seems straightforward. Yet most would probably agree that to steal to save a child from starvation would surely be allowed. But what about near starvation? It's a slippery slope that could lead us to say that being Robin Hood is okay. And I'm not sure we believe that. Fortunately, we're not forced to deal with decisions like whether to steal to save a child. Decisions as to what is right are often complicated and may require considerable thought. Study, thought, and prayer. We also need to remind ourselves about things we already accept as truth. I like the lines from The King and I, where Yul Brynner, as the king, says, "When I was young, what was so, and what was not." Now, some things nearly so, others nearly not. I find confusion, and confusion I concluded long ago. Pastors can sometimes help us with some of this confusion. Actually, the official Presbyterian name for pastor, minister, or preacher is teaching elder. Although I find that to be an odd name, I think it's right. They teach us about scripture, prayer, worship, and many things involved in practicing Christianity and make us think about them. One effective way of teaching is to ask questions and let the listener ponder what might be the correct answer, if there is one. A sermon may leave us with unanswered questions for us to think about. Once again, I say that much of it may be preaching to the choir. Choir's back again. But even the choir needs to be reminded and reinforced in practicing Christianity. There are, of course, many other ways to learn about practicing Christianity. Some of them just seem to find us, and others might require a little digging. At Friendship Village, where I now live, we have a writing group that likes to write and share things with each other. The category for last month was Anonymous Kindness. In thinking about what to write on that subject, I came to realize that kindness could easily benefit three or more parties: the benefactor, the recipient of the kindness, and possibly even an observer who might feel good about witnessing a kindness. In addition, the recipient or the observer might feel encouraged to pass on that kind of caring to someone else. Love and kindness are certainly something that improves with practice. Even a smile or a greeting is a way of showing love for one's fellow beings. Only recently, the church has asked each of us for not only a financial pledge, but also a kindness pledge. Practice, practice, practice may be the way to Carnegie Hall, but it's also the way to meet our kindness pledges. Examples that can teach us about loving God, love of God's creation, and love of each other are around us if we pay attention. On occasion, we see news articles demonstrating forgiveness. In October, there was considerable press about an off-duty white police officer who was sentenced to 10 years for killing her black neighbor. People outside the courtroom were angry because they thought the sentence was too lenient. In the courtroom, the victim's brother told the guilty officer that he thinks his brother would have wanted her to turn her life over to Christ, and that if she can ask God for forgiveness, she will get it. He then told her, "I love you as a person. I don't wish anything bad on you." And then he asked the court's permission to give her a hug, which was granted, and he did. What a great example for us to learn from. A few weeks back, a 16-year-old girl from Sweden put us all to shame when she confronted the United Nations with her "How dare you" speech. She boldly stated that we, as the human race, are ruining our earth and the future of humanity. What a great example for us about dedication to a cause. Speaking of climate change, we also need to recognize our own inconsistencies. I want to protect our environment, but the last time I bought a new car, I didn't buy a hybrid because I didn't want to pay the extra price. We each could name lots of other inconsistencies in how we practice Christianity. We need to be aware of them and try to do better. Also, we might think about our current stage in life. Shakespeare said, "And one man in his time plays many parts, his act being seven ages." What we can do to express our love of God and God's world does depend on our stage in life. A kid in school can be kind to other kids and work well with the teacher. The kid couldn't very well be climbing on a roof to help build a house for someone who needs one. Some adults could work to build a house. Others would have different talents, perhaps helping someone with their income tax, or showing love through fabrics of faith. The person who can no longer help build a house needs to reevaluate how to serve when he or she is too old for construction. Reminds me of somebody I know. I like to keep in mind a comment made by the late Mary Ellen Lander, who was an active member of this church. After she retired, Mary Ellen said, "I don't think that one's sole purpose in retirement should be to entertain oneself." As Mary Ellen implied, changes in life may well change our way to serve God, but shouldn't stop us from serving. For many of us, there also comes a stage in life where we can do little or nothing to help others. Perhaps when bedridden, one can make phone calls or write letters to bring joy or encouragement to others. But there may also be a time when we cannot be of help to others. If not, it's time to appreciate visits and help that come from others. The ways to serve God, share God's love, vary depending on our individual skills, education, circumstances, etc. We're human and we fail. God forgives us and we should strive to do better. We need to think about how to be Christians and not be afraid to rethink the conclusions we concluded long ago.